You know, I've been in a lot of countries of the world, and I haven't found one yet that I'd prefer to this one. And it's interesting to me that while many criticize this land of ours, everybody wants to come here. I read somewhere the other day that the reason the Mexicans, for example, didn't do so well in the Olympics, that everybody who could run, swim, and jump was already in Texas or California. Everybody wants to come to America. Everywhere we go, all over the world, the people want to be a part of this country. And we do have a great heritage from many, many nations, many nationalities, many cultures, and we're grateful for all of them because each of them adds something to us. Now, if you'll turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Daniel, the Old Testament. We're going to read the first 10 verses of chapter 6. I use this frequently because to me it's a really special insight into who we are as children of God. Now, we believe the Bible to be the only infallible rule of our faith and of our practice. Therefore, to know God's will and God's way, we are dependent upon listening to His Word. And it's a living, dynamic Word, a Word filled with the Holy Spirit, that it comes with power to speak to us. And every time we read it, no matter how many times we've read a passage, though we may have memorized it, still it comes again and again with fresh power and fresh insight, because it is a living Word, a dynamic Word. Hear the Word of God. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps, to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three presidents, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps should give account, so that the king might suffer no loss. Now, at this time, Israel is in captivity, and Daniel, a Jewish person, has risen in favor under the king, and now he's given the office of president. There are three of them over all the satraps who are administering the kingdom. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other presidents and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Then the presidents and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom. There's always people who are jealous, but they could find no ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful, and no error of fault was found in him. And, you know, I wish people could say that about me, that there was no error or fault found in him. But I suspect in your case, as well as mine, that's just not true. Then these men said, "We shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God. We're going to take his religion and we're going to use that somehow to trap him." Then these presidents and satraps came by agreement to the king and said to him, "O King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors, are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an interdict that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions." Now, you know, they're playing on his ego. They're saying, you know, "Oh, you are so wonderful, you are so great, you make this law that nobody can pray to any god or anybody but you, because you're so wonderful. Now, O king, establish the interdict and sign the document so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked. Therefore, King Darius, sign the document and interdict." When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house, where he had windows in his upper chambers open toward Jerusalem. And he got down upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. May God bless to us this reading from His holy word, our meditation, the art of gratitude, When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house, where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem, and he got down upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he had done previously. May God bless to us this reading, and to his name be praise and glory forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us pray. God, as we think about Daniel and all that he had and all that he was risking in order to worship you, we realize, Lord, that we've risked so little. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to risk all for Jesus. Speak to us now. Open our hearts and minds, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. You know, one of the things we need to learn is the art of giving thanks. Actually, the first pilgrims didn't have very much to be thankful for, not by our standards. Yet they had endured a year in the previous months that had been dreadful. Their crops had failed. Many of their number had died from disease, and the Indians were a constant threat. In the spring, when they planted the last of their seed, everything was at stake. So when the harvest time came and they had crops beyond their fondest dreams, you can appreciate the fact that they were in a thankful mood. It wasn't that they had very much, not by our standards, but compared to times past, they had cause for thanksgiving. Being thankful is an art that we need to develop, I suspect, having just come back from India and seen incredible poverty. You and I have so much for which to be grateful. We hear a lot in America today about our poor, and certainly we do have poor, and certainly we do need to take care of them the best we can and to help them. But I want to tell you, we don't know what poverty is. Our poor people have television sets and sometimes automobiles and telephones and luxuries and a warm place to stay. And in India, there are those who simply live on the street and have no other home. And we need to learn to be thankful for what we have. One cannot but remember the story of the 10 lepers who came to Jesus to be healed. To be a leper was a dreadful experience. Not only did one suffer great physical agony, not only did the leper have to beg for a living or live off the garbage heap of the city, but worst of all, he was cut off from his loved ones and from his friends. He was cut off from family, from all the things that gave life meaning and purpose. 10 such lonely men had banded together in a fellowship of the damned, and out of a desperation born of their agony, they cried out to Jesus for healing. And yet when the stigma of their disease was erased, and they could return to everything that gave life meaning, only one of them turned back to thank Jesus. It's the art of being thankful. General Patton once received a letter from a soldier of the Third Army expressing gratitude for the rest camp that General Patton provided for his soldiers who had been on the front lines for a time. And Patton wrote him back. And he said that for 35 years he had tried to give his men all he could, but that was the first time he had ever received a letter of appreciation. You see, too often we fail to thank those who do things for us, and too often we fail to give thanks to God for his goodness. What are you thankful for this morning? Let me suggest a couple of categories that I suspect most of us are thankful for. First, there are the material things we have, the tangible things. When I was a child, we used to sing a little song that went, "Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done." And if we stop to count our material blessings this morning, we would all have a sizable list. And if you were thrown into an alien culture where there's poverty, your list would be much greater because you would be more sensitive to all the blessings you really do have. You see, most of us make a serious mistake. We have what I like to call our don't have list. And we get so focused in on our don't have list that we lose the art of being thankful for what we do have. And I'm deeply grateful to God this morning for the things I have. I hope on this Thanksgiving Day that all of us can develop the art of being thankful for our material blessings, for the tangibles, for all those things God's provided for us. As some poet has expressed it, the winds and waves obey him, by him the birds are fed. Much more to us his children, he gives our daily bread. Now, the second category of things for which we should be thankful might be called the intangibles. Let me illustrate. One of my favorite stories is told by a writer named Henry Porter, and it's called The Day the Sun Didn't Rise. 6 o'clock, no sign of dawn. 7, no ray of light. At noon, it was as black as midnight and no birds were singing. Then came the black hours of a black afternoon. When the clock said it was night again, nobody slept. Some wept, some wrung their hands in anguish. Every church was filled as the people thronged to the doors to fall upon their knees. And at last the time for another dawn came, and tear-wet faces turned to the east. Suddenly, the sky began to grow faintly, and then a fiery red disk began to peek above the horizon, and millions of lips cried out, "Oh, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." And why were these people so grateful and thankful? Why? Because the sun rose. Do you see, a great scientist said once, "I know the laws of science and of the universe, and I know what makes the light, and I know what makes the dark, and yet ultimately I can only explain the sunrise because God says to the sun, 'Get up and do it again.'" I know just how he feels when I go to the airport and I see a great 747 and it goes down the runway, and I says, "No way that's going to get off the runway." But it does. And the only reason is because God says to it, "Get up and fly." It's the art of being thankful for the intangibles, the song of a bird in the early morning, the smell of fresh-cut grass, the odor of wood smoke on a frosty day, the tangy smell of a turkey coming out of an oven on Thanksgiving, the sound of a child laughing, the gurgle of a baby, the touch of the hand of a loved one, the look of understanding that flashes between two people. Yet when we've counted our blessings and been thankful for tangible things and intangibles, the things that you can't put on a bank book or add to an accounting sheet, is there some other area of life that deserves thanksgiving for which we should develop the art of being thankful? You see, life has its bad parts too, doesn't it? There is sickness and pain. There's tragedy and disappointment and death. There's hurt and agony and fear and despair. There are tears and sighs and empty longing. Perhaps some of you since last Thanksgiving have experienced some loss or some tragedy in your life. Not so long ago, a couple who had been through an ordeal upon the near death of a child said to me, they said, "Andy, wasn't God good to give us our son back?" And I said to them, "Yes, but what would God be if your son had died?" Yes, it's easy to give thanks and to speak of the goodness of God when all our wishes are coming true and our fondest dreams are being answered. But is God still love when dreams blow up in our faces, when our fondest hopes turn to dust? Thomas Dorsey, author of the song Precious Lord, tells how that hymn came to be written. His wife died in childbirth, and by the time he got home from his trip, he was called back. The baby had died as well. And he writes, "We buried them both in the same casket. That was double trouble, and I couldn't take it. I said, 'God, you aren't worth a dime to me right now.' I felt as if he had treated me wrong." Have you ever felt that way? I know I have. But I want you to look at the picture of Daniel in our scripture this morning. Daniel was a captive with his people in Babylon. But he had become a favorite with the king. And there he enjoyed all of the luxuries of his day. But Daniel had enemies in the king's court. They got the king to sign an edict that for a period of time nobody would worship anybody but the king. To do otherwise would mean the loss of life. They would be thrown in the den of lions. And yet the Bible says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his window being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime." Do you begin to see? He was losing all of his tangible blessings. He was also losing all the intangibles that he enjoyed: prestige, importance, the love of the king, and soon he would be thrown into the den of lions. And yet in the midst of the worst that life could do to him, the Bible says he gave thanks. And what was he thankful for? He was thankful for the most basic fact of human life. He was grateful for the fact that no matter what happened to him, no matter what life brought, he could still trust the love of God. And you know, later when the king came to the lion's den where Daniel had been cast, and he cried out, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee?" And from the depths of the worst that life could do came the ringing reply of Daniel, "My God is able." He had found the secret of thanksgiving. He discovered that no matter how bad life got, how terrible things turned out, he could trust the love of God. And you can too. And all of us should be deeply grateful this morning for our material blessings, the tangible things we can count. And all of us should give thanks for those intangibles that make life significant and worthwhile. But what we can be thankful for when life goes bad, when things turn out wrong, when our fondest dreams lie in cold, dead ashes, why, we can be thankful for God's love, which never, never lets us go. We can be thankful that when the material things are swept away, when the intangibles are gone, life may not make much sense to us, but it makes sense to God who loves us, and we can trust him. And that's what I want to say to you on this Thanksgiving morning. You can trust God and his love for you, and you can always be thankful no matter what life brings. Catherine Marshall, writing of the death of her first husband, Peter Marshall, wrote, "At one time I did not think life worth living without my husband. Yet I can testify that today I am truly happy. How did that come about? I prayed that this tragedy, which I did not understand, would nonetheless work together for good." And then she wrote this, "And as a final benediction, slowly, imperceptibly, there came into my life the definite feeling of still being loved, cherished, and cared for." And I knew Catherine well, and I'd just written her to invite her to come here to Central and speak to us. And her secretary wrote back and said, "Catherine cannot accept your invitation. She's gone home to be with her father." And all those years, still being loved and cherished and cared for. On this Thanksgiving Day, as we can be thankful for the tangibles and the intangibles with which God has blessed us, But above all, we can be grateful that whatever life brings us, we can trust the love of God that never lets us go. Earlier, I mentioned Thomas Dorsey, who wrote the song, Precious Lord, and we're going to sing it in a minute. When his wife and child had both died, and he felt God wasn't worth a dime to him, he discovered that in spite of his deep trouble, God still loved him, and he could trust that love. And it was out of that experience that he wrote, Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on, help me stand. I'm tired, I'm weak, I'm worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord. Lead me home. It's the art of being thankful. Even in the midst of the worst of life, as Catherine Marshall put it, slowly, imperceptibly, that comes into our lives the definite feeling of still being loved, still being cherished, still being cared for. Let us pray. Lord, we're so grateful for all the blessings we have today, for all the material blessings that are so abundant, more than we can realize. Thank you for the intangibles, for the family gatherings, and for all those other meaningful things that we can't add in our checkbook but are so important to us. But above all, we thank you that whatever life brings, we can trust you in the knowledge that all things work together for good to them that love thee. So, Lord, help us to love thee with all our hearts. For we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.